The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 12th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news for the day, WTO negotiators converge on Hong Kong, and there's not much hope for an agreement on agriculture. Still, some members of Congress are posturing for how a successful WTO could change the next farm bill, pointing to an increase in research and transportation dollars should the WTO force the elimination of some subsidy programs. And for the very first time since a BSE-positive cow was discovered in the U.S. almost 2 years ago, Japan today has opened its borders to beef imported from the United States. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later this half hour. Our feature segment of the day will stay with the livestock theme. We'll explore the export potential for U.S. corn and soybeans to China to feed its growing pork production sector. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us tomorrow evening at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time at the Yawning Civic Center in Kokomo, Indiana, for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook meetings. Panelists tomorrow night include Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities, Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company, and Steve Erdman of EFG Group out of Chicago, Illinois. That's a free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panel tomorrow evening at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time at the Yawning Civic Center in Kokomo. We do indeed hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Taking a look at the futures markets this afternoon. On Monday, Kansas City Board of Trade hard red winter wheat settled at $3.51 today, down a penny. December wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade up 6.5 cents at $2.99.5. March contract at $3.14.75, up 7.25. December corn futures at the board $1.94.25, up 4.5 cents. The March futures up 4 at $2.07.75. And the May contract at $2.16.75, up 4.25. December corn, $2.44.25, up 3 cents. January soybeans, $5.84, up 15.25. The March contract up 16, $5.94.5, and the May futures at $5.98.75, up 16.25. November soybeans, $6.11, up 13 for the day. December bean meal, $188.50, up $6.90. December bean oil at $20.87. They were up 17. From the Mercantile Exchange, January feeder cattle at 114.17.5, up 40. And the December live cattle at 92.47.5 were up 55. December lean hogs, $62.12.5, down 42.5 cents on the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I want to hear what was happening on the squawk box early this morning as the futures opened up and gapping higher.
Well, pretty much just a massive commodity fund buying. There was a lot of orders that were going in prior to the open just to buy the market on the opening there, following the Chinese market and our overnight market, too. There was no real fundamental event that really shifted things in a real bullish posture, for say. I mean, there's a lot of odds and ends and so forth that supported the lower or the higher open. And the market sort of just gapped and went. The market had enough ammunition to get up into some pretty good buy orders, buy stops. The bean complex was the leader by all means. We moved above the 40 and 50 day moving average. It was a case where the green line crossed it above the red line, and they put the pedal to the metal there and did what they're supposed to do. They had buy signals and they went with it. We had some commercial selling there to absorb some of this buying pressure, but I imagine the funds will be buyers for a day or two. Coming into the session here, funds were estimated to be short close to 28,000 contracts of beans and 40,000 contracts of corn and over 60,000 contracts of wheat. So if the technical indicators and the buy signal stays on, the commodity funds could be buyers here for a day or two yet.
And then I do want to talk about this close on the beans for the day, because I didn't take a look at the tick by tick. When did it break down to near its bottom end?
Well, the market topped there in the first 10, 15 minutes, and it sort of just ratcheted lower. The low was set pretty close to 10:30. Then we tried to recover, and then we went virtually sideways the rest of the day. And then, of course, towards the tail of the day, it drifted back towards the lower end of the day. Quite a bit of commercial selling is what the guys in the pit said, that as producers took advantage of this up move in here to sort of get caught up on sales. The funds bought an estimated 4,200 contracts of wheat, about 17,000 contracts of corn, and over 11,000 contracts of beans. But ideas are it was much heavier than that.
So the opening exhausted pretty much the buying, and then she traded lower throughout the day. And fairly quickly, it appears, and kind of settled in. Well, what are your expectations then for follow through at all? And I know you said there's potential there, but how much potential you might think could be possible?
I think today's highs are it. We might venture up and maybe run into some buy stops in the corn, maybe get a little bit more in the corn. But I would venture to say that we've pretty well found the upper end of the trading range here. Looking at the raw fundamentals, there's going to be plenty of grain for sale here as we go into 2006. So what additional commodity fund buying we see is going to be offset by commercial hedge pressure, because everybody's brother needs to be selling some cash grain in through here. And I think producers are starting to come to the fact that probably be better to sell it now than later.
Oh, speaking of which, over the weekend on Commodity Week, the four analysts that were on, to some degree, one way or the other, all agreed that corn should be sold for cash, whether it's now or on a basis contract of some sort. Are you in that camp as well?
Well, I'm not saying sell out completely.
They weren't either.
I've always got some for when it goes to $5.
Corn, we talked about that in the After the Bell segment.
But March corn futures towards this 210 area, I think it warrants some movement on commercial store grain especially. Now, for grains in the elevator, or not in the elevator, but grain that's in the bin, there's still some carry in the market, so I drag my feet on that. But for commercial store grain, I'd say get fairly aggressive on this, yes, because historically this is a time window that we've been promoting for some time, and we do look at price and time, and both of them have come together here today.
And then from the Mercantile Exchange, futures were higher in the cattle pit, but not much given that Japan opened its border today.
Yeah, I mean, there's still stipulations involved, and that's going to be an ongoing affair, and that's been anticipated. But the thing we got to watch here is deliveries. We saw over 313 delivered out, put out. We'll see how fast those are. Or with deliveries coming up, going through the delivery process here. We'll see how well those are absorbed. Also, too, we're in a situation where we've priced a lot of premium to the market. The weather's going to be a little bit more cooperative here. We need to get the cutouts a little higher here. We were negative, and we've just now come up to the plus side here. We need to get these cutouts moving a little bit on the plus side here. But overall, the 90, 92 cents is probably going to catch it, because as we see cheap grain coming to town here, producers are going to continue to add weight to fats.
Speaking of which, on the livestock side, I missed a couple of things that I meant to talk to you about on the oil seeds, and we need to discuss the corn very quickly as well. Bean meal up $6.90 today. Does that give you some good thoughts that the bottom end of the range might be a little higher than what we've seen in recent weeks?
Well, I would think that based off the D's futures here, as we get in this 190 and even up to the $200 level, I think that's going to be the sort of the upper end for say here. We've got another product competing with meal, and that's the byproduct from ethanol. So I've been kind of leery about chasing the meal market higher I'd be patient here before booking meal. I think this $200 is going to be the upper end.
And then from the corn pit, pretty good day on the corn, up 4.5 cents in the December contract. March up 4 as well. Wheat was up 7 cents for the day.
Yeah, on the corn, the December futures go off Wednesday here, so we're going to close those out. The volumes will be kind of light there, so it's going to be kind of hard to really go off those contracts. But the March, for example, this 210, 212 area is going to be some resistance. When we get above that, maybe we get in some fun buying. I think keep an eye on this 06. Got the 245.5. You know, a lot of these advisors have goals of 250 to 06 futures to get going on 2006. And I'd keep that in the back of my mind, even though we're trying to clean up 04 and 05 still.
December 06 contract, of course. Anything else to add before we let you go today?
Well, it's an exciting day. They're going to talk about contrary or turnaround Tuesday here. So hopefully we can open a little lower, trade a little lower, and get it out of their system. But the funds continue to do what they've done in the past. Usually these fund buying vintages are good for 1 to 3 days. I'd be kind of cautious. These outside markets, the silver chart posted a massive key price reversal to the downside. So that might be a signal that the metal market really could be over with.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM580's own Ed Kieser forecast for tonight across the two-state region, mostly cloudy skies, lows ranging from 10 in northeastern Indiana to 28 in far southern Illinois. And tomorrow, Ed says, partly sunny skies, highs will range from 27 in northeastern Indiana to 45 in far southern Illinois. The extended forecast Wednesday, cloudy in all sections. In the north, some snow arriving. In central sections, a mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain, and rain arriving. That on Wednesday. In the south, rain arriving as well. Thursday in the north and central sections, cloudy and windy, some snow. In the south, cloudy with some snow early. That's a look at the weather forecast. We'll take a complete look at details of the agricultural forecast at the bottom of the hour. Dave Dickey's here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Doha Round ministerial meeting begins tomorrow in Hong Kong. Speaking with reporters before leaving for the Orient, U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman said he hopes, but does not expect, that the European Union will offer a new proposal offering greater market access. Ag ministers around the world have spent the last 4 weeks saying that unless Europe is prepared to lower its barriers in a more significant fashion, the prospects for a world free trade ag deal are slim. House Majority Leader Roy Blunt of Missouri says U.S. ag producers could be on the road to disappointment.
American farmers can compete with anybody, anywhere, at any time in a global economy. May not be able to compete with every crop in every part of the world, but globally nobody will be better than us if we have access to markets and have the kind of fair opportunity to trade that we really need. It looks like that, at least in the discussion going up to these talks in Hong Kong, that we could be disappointed again that nobody's willing to move forward to adequately open those markets up.
But Missouri GOP Senator Christopher Bond says there are signs the Europeans are realizing they can't continue holding on to their high subsidies. And that's one reason he says he's optimistic about Doha.
Right now, the tariffs of other countries are about 5 times what ours are. And I'm confident that America's farmers would be the big winners. If we could get those down and get rid of the other non-tariff barriers, we could afford to get rid of some of our price supports, direct that money into research and transportation, and make sure that all American farmers can get their returns from the marketplace, not the mailbox.
Before heading to Hong Kong, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns fired one last shot at the EU, saying Europe remains a stumbling block to a new WTO deal and that the EU must improve its market access position.
The EU EU provides more than double the trade-distorting domestic support to its farmers than does the United States, and has the ability to even go beyond that. We have asked for the support of our nation's ag industry and of Congress to help move the international trade agenda forward. And so far, their support has been good. But we want to be clear, our proposals, of course, are part of an overall package. We do not cut our support 60% as proposed unless there are cuts that match our ambition.
Key critics of the Doha Round today reiterated it does not appear ag ministers are moving toward a deal that would help developing nations. The director of the Third World Network, Martin Kaur, says he expects meaningful agricultural negotiations to be delayed until March, and this week's negotiations to focus on manufacturing and services. Capitol Hill sources say congressional leaders have their eyes on this Friday to adjourn the first session of the 109th Congress. To meet the schedule, however, members will need to resolve a number of high-profile and highly contentious issues in relatively short order, including budget reconciliation. The House and Senate versions remain far apart. The House is calling for almost $50 billion in federal cuts over 5 years. The Senate version provides for $35 billion in cuts. Senate Majority Whip Mitch McConnell of Kentucky says reaching a deal before the Senate adjourns will be a tall order.
Well, I certainly hope we're going to be able to resolve it before Christmas. This would be the first genuine deficit reduction bill we passed in the last 8 years. Given the size of the federal deficit, it's something we need to do, and a lot of different segments of our society have been called upon to make a contribution, including agriculture.
A key Ag Committee source says the Budget Reconciliation Conference Committee will take its cues from the Senate version, which extends the life of all farm and nutrition programs through 2011. The House version only extends the food stamp and conservation security programs. Japan today officially lifted its ban on U.S. beef, and USDA Secretary Mike Johans announced it would allow importation of Japanese Kobe beef.
We are ready to flip the switch and bring Kobe beef into our marketplace, and that can happen really any day. We are that far along in the process. So I can tell you that it's not like we're out there trying to figure out how this happens simultaneously, but I can assure those in Japan that we anticipated that that issue would arise. We've gone through our rulemaking, our risk analysis, our scientific approach, and we're ready to bring Kobe beef in.
It's expected cattle will move within 10 days. Japan will import U.S. cattle 20 months old and younger. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, Chinese farmers raise about half of the world's total production for pigs. All of them are consumed within that one nation. We'll hear about potential for Chinese pork production to double and what it might mean to U.S. corn and soybean exports. The interesting thing about the overwhelming number of pigs raised in China is that most of them are in backyard pens. If that could be changed, says University of Illinois animal scientist and annual visitor to China, Bob Easter, China could double pork production and in the process create a new market for corn and soybean imports.
If you think about Chinese pig production, it's important to realize that of the 400 million pigs produced, estimated, that still more than 80% of those are produced as one or two animals in a household. The portion of that industry that has become larger, 50 sows and bigger, it may be a large number, but as a percent of the total production in China, it's still small. And that is, in our interest, the area that we're interested in growing, SeaGrow, because that's the market opportunity for corn and soybeans. When the pig is in the backyard, it gets fed household garbage.
Bob Easter is also the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences at the U of I. One of the reasons most of the hogs in China are produced in the backyard, he says, is because China remains a very rural society. People have not moved from the countryside to the city, as was the case in the Western world. When they do, the labor pool will be reduced, and the economies of scale, says Easter, could double Chinese pork production.
Well, 800 million hogs would eat a lot of corn and soybeans. Todd Meyer, the U.S. Grains Council's Beijing office, explains most of the Chinese corn crop is already consumed by the livestock sector.
You know, just to throw out a number, which everybody varies a bit on what number they use for feed demand, but, you know, say 90 million tons or a little bit more, which of 120 million ton or this year 115 million ton crop. So it's a big chunk of the total annual production.
Doubling pork production in China then would also require nearly doubling the size of the corn crop. That may or may not be possible within China. The Chinese farmers work very small plots and last year raised about 90 bushels of corn to the acre. It's a low average, but not far off the usual yields. U.S. corn growers could, in the distant future then, expect to export more of their commodity to China to feed a growing livestock sector. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time now to take a look at the cash grain market with the folks from the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you, Greg, this afternoon?
I'm doing good.
Greg,
a little busy, but other than that, doing good.
I bet you are. Greg Johnson, of course, joins us most Monday afternoons. Greg, I want to talk about this marketplace this morning and Friday. Expectations for farmers and others were not that the beans would rally over these past 2 days, especially once USDA released those numbers on Friday morning that showed larger ending stocks than most had expected on the U.S. side, and certainly bigger stocks on the global front as well. Still, we have a pretty good rally going in the marketplace. Farmers are willing sellers of soybeans?
They were today at $6. The ones that had the offers in got them booked when we hit $6 briefly. And now that we sold back off a little bit, I would imagine that until we get back up into the mid-$5.90 to $6 range, that the soybean selling will cease. But I think today proved that farmers will sell beans at $6 and above.
And where might they be selling corn, if at all?
Corn, I think we'll buy corn if it rallies probably another 4 or 5 cents. I don't think the same expectations are there that are there with beans. With beans, any one little blip in the supply side could, you know, move beans higher, as farmers seem to be willing to wait a little bit longer to price the rest of their beans. With corn, the number to keep in mind is 2.4 billion carryout. That's just huge, and so corn probably won't move more than 5 or 10 cents. And so I think farmers are going to be more eager or willing to sell corn on small rallies. Whereas with beans, you know, I think they were willing to sell a few at $6 and then be willing to hold on to the rest of them for a while.
Were there any good reasons, fundamentally speaking, from the processors or other places for the beans to rally the last couple of days?
Other than the farmers just were not willing to sell. I mean, it was going to take $6 cash, basically, to get beans to move this early in the year. $6 or a couple of more months off the calendar, and if South America is still progressing in good shape, then I think farmers will lower their sights and the beans would probably pick up. But it's almost a repeat of last year, where farmers were more willing to sell corn throughout the year and they held on to beans into the summer. And, of course, last year they were rewarded by holding on to beans into the summer.
A lot was made that buy stops were hit on the way up on this one and that it would be funds or someplace else, somebody else that was doing much of the purchasing. Any thoughts that much of this was commercially driven?
I don't think that there was a lot of that. I think they're, you know, the commercials are looking to buy some beans, and the funds took it the rest of the way. I don't know that the funds or the commercials will push this thing much above $6. I think they'll wait for it to sell back off and continue to buy as they need to meet their needs. But as far as pushing them on up above $6, the fundamentals certainly wouldn't suggest that today.
Your bids for the day are?
Cash corn finishes at $2 even. 202 for January and 228 for next fall. Beans are 584 for now or January and 595 for next fall. And wheat's $3 for now or January and 314 for next July.
Greg, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us every Monday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the office of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. One of former Illinois Governor George Ryan's closest political advisors is undergoing a second day of unusually rough cross-examination. Last week, Donald Udston testified that he made a deal under which George Ryan co-defendant Larry Warner shared hundreds of thousands of dollars of lobbying fees with him. He said that as part of the deal, Warner told him, quote, "I'll take care of George." Ryan defense attorney Dan Webb today repeatedly tried to get Udston, a former official with the Illinois State Medical Society, to say exactly where and when Warner made that remark, but Udston said he could not recall the exact details. A 140-year-old mansion in Champaign has been donated to local preservationists. The Preservation and Conservation Association will be receiving the Solon House at 503 South State Street as a gift of the descendants of Francis and Abby Solon. Francis Solon was a local Democratic leader whose family acquired the mansion in 1907. Preservation and Conservation Association President Catherine Barbercheck says they'll perform whatever renovations are needed at the home and likely put it up for sale. Illinois Congressman Jerry Weller, who has represented the 11th District since 1994, is running for a seventh term. Green Party candidate Jamie Mock and Democrat John Pavich plan to challenge Weller in the November 2006 election. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says State Commerce Secretary Pat Miller will leave her post next month. She's planning to resume her duties as president and chief executive of Vera Bradley Designs, a handbag company based in Fort Wayne. Folk singer Arlo Guthrie has almost traveled the length of Illinois to raise money for New Orleans musicians and music venues devastated by Hurricane Katrina. Guthrie is riding Amtrak's City of New Orleans train and performing in cities along the route. The Arlo and Friends Tour's latest stop was in Effingham yesterday, where he performed in front of about 400 people at the Keller Convention Center. He started in Chicago last week. Upcoming Guthrie shows are tonight in Carbondale, followed by Memphis, Tennessee and New Orleans. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580, your agricultural information advantage. We're joined now by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, kind of snowy, 29 degrees, bright and beautiful, heading into winter for us here in Champaign County, Illinois.
Yeah, certainly this true winter pattern that has set up this month certainly it's been quite anomalous up through this point in December. And at least looking ahead here, it looks like this pattern will remain locked into place, not only across Illinois, but really across the whole central and eastern U.S. as we continue to see this deep trough of low pressure positioned across the eastern U.S. And as a result, we are going to see a continuous flow of Arctic air down into the nation's midsection and then moving on into the eastern U.S. The way it looks right now, actually the coldest air mass of the season so far. So if you thought last week was bad, wait for about a week from now when we are seeing signs of a pretty major Arctic air mass plunging down into the Midwest, let alone the whole eastern half of the country. And it looks to be the coldest temperatures of the season up through this point.
Well, I kind of wanted snow for Santa Claus and Christmas Eve, but I did not want that kind of cold temperatures. How cold are we talking?
Well, the way it looks right now as we go into late in the weekend and early next week with that air mass coming down, expect temperature departures again in the range of about 15 to 20 degrees below normal, which will equate to highs generally in the, at least across much of Illinois, highs in the teens and lows likely dropping below zero.
And then will we have those same sort of Arctic blast out into the west? And I'm thinking primarily about livestock and health there.
Yeah, the plains region there in the southern plains, they're going to get just kind of clipped by the Arctic air. While it will turn unseasonably cold there, the duration is pretty short, meaning it's only going to last about a day, day and a half before temperatures then moderate. Where here in the Midwest, actually, the longevity of the colder air is longer. So for cattle, livestock areas there, certainly a little bit of cold stress. But at this time of year, really the main feature is any kind of big winter storms. And we really don't see that, at least occurring across the Plains region, which has really been the trend throughout the fall and now into this early portion of winter.
We appreciate you being with us this afternoon, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Join us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Remember, you can hear what you've heard today on the futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on our website at will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then agriculture. One other website for you to hit, farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The Farm Income Series, which are day-long events that you might be wanting to attend, are in the process across the state. The next one is actually tomorrow in Rochelle at the Hickory Grove Banquet and Conference Center, and then December the 14th at the Holiday Inn Airport in Moline, and December the 19th, that's next week, right here in Urbana at the Holiday Inn. That's at the Farm Doc website, WILL, or farmdoc.uiuc.edu. You can click on that for all the details. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.